Yeah, yesterday we kind of concluded with talking about Berachos Ilanos. We have a bunch of different brachos topics to go over, but I'm going to start with this, the bracha that we make on the new trees, for the fruit trees that are growing. We make, when we see them, Rambam writes Chodesh Nisan, that would be when you would make that special bracha that we had talked about yesterday. The bracha actually says something, which is Shalochi Serba Olamo Klum. That's part of the line, that we're not missing anything in this world. That's part of the bracha. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains that point to that bracha, that line in the bracha, is that we really didn't need fruits completely. Basically, through grains and vegetables and things like that, we could have basically gone almost everything that we need and generally to sustain ourselves. Obviously, we get certain nutrients from certain fruits, but that's not what we're talking about, meaning to sustain ourselves. Fruits are something special that we get to have above what we really need. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the reason why we don't have a bracha when the vegetables start growing, when the wheat starts growing or anything like that, we only have a bracha on fruits, is because of the fact that those things are necessities. But this is to show that God made things, even though he didn't have to, we didn't require them. So therefore, we make that special bracha for fruit trees. If one accidentally made the bracha on a non-fruit tree, thought it was a fruit tree, they say you cannot make this bracha again. There were some opinions because the word tree, because the concept of trees is mentioned in the bracha, therefore that includes any tree also, so you cannot make a new bracha, but you're supposed to make it on a fruit tree. When are you supposed to, what is the fruit tree supposed to look like for you to be able to make this bracha? So they say it's the fact that as the Rambam mentioned, that the flowers are starting to come out. As we said, the flowers precede the fruit, and therefore we want to make the bracha when the flowers are there before the fruit really is growing. Let's say you didn't make the bracha at that time. Flowers are mostly gone. Fruit is growing. Are you allowed to still make the bracha? So it's actually a debate. And most poskim follow the lenient opinion. Mishnah Berurah, others follow the lenient opinion that you can actually say the bracha afterwards if you missed it when the flowers were growing. So let's say as long as the fruit is not completely ripe, has not completely grown, there's still a few flowers left on the tree, you can make the bracha at that point. But once the fruit is fully grown, flowers are no longer on the tree, everybody agrees that you shouldn't be making this bracha, okay? But it's best to see it when the tree is starting to create the fruit, which comes from the flower, which grows the flowers, what precedes it. And therefore, that's when you're supposed to make the bracha. Where are these trees supposed to be? So we talked about this yesterday a little bit, but there are some opinions that you're actually supposed to go out to a field to find trees in a field or a park to make the bracha, fruit trees. The general opinion is that even though that might be nicer, and for Sfardim, the Alki Yosef Paskins, that you should try to go out to a field if you can, but if you can't, and I think for most Ashkenazim, what we do is we just go looking for them even in the city, which is what most people do, when there's houses around and people's lawns. So that's what most people do over there. There's a few interesting discussions about how many trees do you need to see to make this bracha. The bracha is in plural. How many trees do you need to see? So I think almost everybody agrees that the basic halacha is that you need one tree. But brought up in certain poskim, and especially in the Kabbalistic versions, is that there's a requirement of two trees, at least two trees, to be seen in order to make this bracha. You would not make the bracha until you see the second tree. So how do we follow? So what's interesting is in the Ashkenazi world, not most poskim seem to imply that you can use one tree. There are some that said you should try to find two, but generally one tree is enough. In the Sephardi world, Vadi Yosef and the Alki Yosef, his son, both wrote that you should only make the bracha if you see two trees. But interestingly enough, so I saw, after I like to look this, to go through these topics again, I like to look for some articles on this, see if anybody find anything new. And somebody claimed that the Alki Yosef himself, Yitzchak Yosef, when in a shir, said, he's talking to yeshiva guys, and he said, the two-tree thing is what we really should be following, but it's going to be hard to find a second tree. It's going to be Bittul Torah. You got to go learn. So you can rely on the opinion that you can only for one tree, even for Svardim. So it seems to be that if somebody, to avoid the Bittul Torah, seems to be if somebody really is going to, can't do this anyway, I think he would agree in that case also, meaning you have to go to work. You don't have time to find a second tree. Even for Svardim, you can make the bracha. There's another thing brought up by certain opinions that they wanted, preferred, that a minion of men would come for make the bracha and one person would make the bracha for the group, which is a nice thing. I've never seen this done. It might be done in some places, but it's brought down, especially by the Sephardi poskim, that it's a nice thing to have a whole thing there. A minion, say the bracha, somebody say Kaddish. It was a whole interesting ceremony. So, especially in the Sephardi world. But I haven't seen it done, really, but that's what some people do. So that's in terms of how many trees, what you're supposed to do in terms of this bracha. Yeah.
Two questions. One, does the tree have to belong, like, to be owned by
you? Doesn't matter who it belongs to.
And is it better to not make a bracha if you know that the fruit that grow from the tree will be used for something bad, like how they used to, like, eat, like they were used to use, like,
so it doesn't matter what they're using it for. There was a discussion, which I wasn't going to talk about like if the tree was orla and you can't eat the fruits, or the tree is something that was grafted against halacha or something like that. And then there's a little bit of a debate, but what you use it for after it's grown, that doesn't matter. That's as long as the fruits were good afterwards, I don't think that matters. Yeah. So that would be a problem. But I don't know if that happens so much anymore, but yeah, that would be a problem. Okay, Aurel. Oh, this way they're not, yeah. But here we're not talking about eating, we're talking about the bracha. It wouldn't be a good thing to eat the stuff, but unless it's stealing. unless it's not our fruit. So what else? When are you supposed to make this bracha? So the Rambam wrote, quoted many of the poskim, it's quoted from obviously earlier sources, but the Rambam says that you make it in Nisan. Now, obviously, you can't always make it in Nisan. Why? Because in some countries, right, if you are in South Africa, South America, Australia, when do trees start to grow? They have different seasons. So they start to grow about Tishrei. Okay? That's when the fruits start to grow. So obviously, if you're in Australia, South Africa, those places, you can't make the bracha until Tishrei. There's an interesting question brought up. There was Lahoros Nasan, Rav Nasan Gestetner. So he was asked the question, somebody made the bracha of, the rule is, by the way, the rule is you can only make this bracha once. So somebody made the bracha in Nisan on a tree. And then later, the beginning of about September time, about Tishrei, he's going to Australia. Can you make the bracha a second time? Because he's in a new country, it's a different time period. So the question is it, what does once a year mean? Once a year in your country? Here it's a different time, but it didn't grow there beforehand. So he goes through a whole thing, but he says in the end, he says, no, you can't do that. He says you cannot make a new bracha when you go to Australia. So Rav Sternbach, we quoted him many times. Rav Sternbach, one of the great Gedolim, one of the oldest Gedolim who's alive right now, So Rav Sternbach felt that if you're actually moving to Australia, you can make the bracha. Once you're settling in that place, since it's a new place and you become part of that place, you can make a bracha within that place. So that was what Rav Sternbach said. I don't know if Rav Gestetner would agree to that. He never brought it up. But the idea is that's if you move to, if you were to go to Australia. Fine. What about in America? Give me a second. In America, in Israel, all the fruits basically start growing at Nisan. In some places, not south of the equator, fruits don't start growing till, let's say, Iyar. So you don't get to see a lot of fruit trees. Now, here we do have fruit trees, obviously, in Nisan. Nisan's a lot later this year anyway. But in some places, what do? So the poskim say, most poskim say, there's some poskim say that you cannot make the bracha, but in general, most poskim say you can make it during that time period because you couldn't make it any other time. Let's say I pass by a fruit tree. This is a very common case. I pass by a fruit tree. I see the flowers. I don't make a bracha. I come back the next week to the same fruit tree. Am I allowed to make a bracha? So why is this a question? Generally, by Bercha Shevach, once you've missed it, you've missed it. For example, I have a new fruit, new pair of clothes that I would make Shechianu on. If I didn't do it the first time, I can't do it afterwards. There are a lot of brachas. I can't do that afterwards. So what about here? Can I make a bracha even though I didn't do it? So most of the poskim believe, and this is classically what's followed, is that you can make a bracha. You can make a bracha the second time that you see it. That's not a problem. It doesn't remove you from the bracha. This is what happens literally to a lot of people. They walk by these trees. They come back later. They don't have time for the bracha. They don't have the text of the bracha. They don't know what's going on. So you can make the bracha later. There's some poskim that said you shouldn't look too hard at that tree. So you don't... Because there were some opinions you cannot make the bracha again once you saw it once. But it's still you're still allowed to make the bracha according to most poskim. So that's in terms of dealing with fruit trees. Okay. Yeah.
Is that for like you can't visit Australia and make a bracha, but what if I'm not like you can't remove it, but what if it's like a pilot trip and you plan to be there, but you're not moving yet?
I think you'd have to actually move it. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
What if, like, you're not moving there, but you're going to be living there for a long period of time? Like, for 10 years, let's say, for work.
Right.
That's not moving. 10 years, then you know you're going
to. I think if you're planning on staying for any extended time, we have this by, like, how many days you wait for Israel, things like that. So we say years, at least, you know, that's what it is. Girls, if you open up again to Perek 10, okay, in your Rambam, 10, Yud, Perek 10, Yud, okay, open up please to Perek Yud in Hilchos Brachos. Here we go. 1 second, afterwards, 1 second, here we go. Halacha, Halacha Yud, I'm sorry, Yud Dalit, everyone turn. Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalit. Okay? Yud. Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalit. Al Haruchos. Shanashvu Bezav. If you have winds that blew really hard, very harsh winds, okay? We still have to go back to those other brachos, but I'll do that later. I'm just going to do this first. You have winds that blew very hard. Vial habrakim. On what? Lightning. Vial ha-re'emim. On thunder. Vial kol havara. Okay. A large sound of something shaking, which would be something like an earthquake, right? Shetishama ba'aretz. That sounds in the land. Kamo rechayim gidolim, like great millstones, like great grinding areas. Okay? So, sounds like everything's grinding up. Okay. V'al ha'or sheba'avir, the light coming through the sky. She'u ke'ilu heim kochavim no flim. They look like?
Shooting stars.
Shooting stars, right. Shooting stars, comets, meteors, right? Okay. V'ratzim mimakom l'makom, they go from place to place. Okamo kochavim she'esh lehem zanav. This is literally the shooting star. First one was more of like a meteor, okay? So, al kol echad me'ilu, on all of these, mivarech, baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam shekocho, and we say ugvara so normally, but shekocho malei olam. We're going to talk about that. Excellent. Okay. Shekocho malei olam. Okay. Yours has ugvara tony? Oh, excellent. Okay. V'im, interesting. V'im ratza, girls. V'im ratza, if you want, mivareich baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, osei breishis, which we usually do, maaseh breishis. Okay. So, girls, as we know, this is not the custom, but we'll get back to this in a second. The Rambam says there's two brachos you can make on. Two brachos you can make on any of these cases. And it seems that the Rambam prefers which bracha? Shekocho gvraso malei olam. He prefers the first bracha. But you can say maaseh breishis. We know that we generally, the general custom in most for most people, is that you make on lightning what? Oseh maaseh breishis. And what would you say on thunder? Go gvraso malei olam. So we'll get back to that next time, but for right now, this just very quickly, one halacha on this. If you have the lightning and the thunder very close to each other, which happens a lot, and you basically hear the lightning and you know the thunder is coming right afterwards, Toch Kedei Dibor, basically you say one bracha. And technically it could be either bracha, but we'll talk about which one people like better next time. Okay, yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay, girls.